Hello and welcome to Scholars Speak, a podcast from the Mitchell Institute, in which we catch up with Mitchell scholars far and wide to hear their stories. Thank you for joining me, your host, Michelle Martin, the 1999 Mitchell Scholar from Scarborough High School, for today's episode of Scholars Speak. And now let's get to it. All right. Well, today we are so thrilled to have Karen Paquin join us. Karen, you were the Mitchell Scholar from Booth Bay Region High School in 2003 and are now a teacher, but there are many more things to tell about the journey to get to where you are right now. And I'm thrilled to hear about it. So welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really honored to be here.
We're excited to hear more about your story. So tell us a little bit more about your high school experience in Booth Bay Region High School. Also, as you were going through that experience and learned about the Mitchell Institute scholarship, what do you remember about that?
I remember that I moved to Booth Bay Harbor, Maine when I was 16 years old. So I grew up actually on a barrier island in New Jersey. And I moved into Booth Bay as a junior. That was an experience in itself, you know, switching a totally new place. I was in a school where my class size had been like 1500 kids. And then my class size in Booth Bay was 60. So it was really neat to like know everybody, which in my old high school, I didn't know everybody. I knew people in my group that I had grown up with, but that was it. And that spring or that fall, I was always interested in marine biology. And so that fall, they introduced me to the Keller Bloom program with Bigelow Laboratories. And I applied and I got in and I did that experience. And from there, I was asked to come back and be a high school intern in the lab. That was really interesting. And my guidance counselor was like, you should totally apply to be a Mitchell Scholar. Like, you have a really good resume. You're doing all this awesome stuff. You want to go to school in Maine. You should apply. And I was like, okay. And so not really, you know, high school, not really thinking a whole lot about the long term, what Mitchell was going to be to me. I applied and I was so honored to get selected as that Mitchell Scholar in 2003 and to be able to use it at the University of New England in Biddeford, Maine to pursue marine science as my career was just amazing. And not just that, but specifically two of the staff members helped me maneuver so much of, you know, getting into college, like any questions I had, being a Mitchell Scholar, the expectation for me, they were just always there for me. I could email them and within 24 to 48 hours, there was a friendly voice on the other end of the phone or a friendly email sending something back to me. And being a freshman in college can be stressful enough. So having those adults that aren't just your parents was really beneficial to me.
That's great. And yeah, I would imagine too, joining that high school at 16 and being new to Maine, the Mitchell Institute community was probably just another place you could lean on, you know, to have support. I know you went into marine biology at University of New England. I'm curious if there was something kind of growing up in school that led you down that path or what brought you there?
So like I said, I grew up on a barrier island in New Jersey, and every day after school, it was a long bus ride. My dad would pick us up at the first bus stop, me and my sister, and we had a Bronco, a Ford Bronco. And in Jersey, you take trucks and things like that. We call them beach buggies, and you drive them up onto the beach in the fall and you fish. You fish for bluefish. You use casting nets and get mullet that you then hook up with live bait and fish for those bluefish. And my dad and my sister and I were on a sandbar fishing, and this very large humpback whale came up mouth open feeding. And that really sparked my interest. I wanted to know more about these large creatures, but as I got older, I noticed they were not coming as close to shore anymore. And so then I was like, well, what's happening? Like, why? And that got me really interested in just the food chain. Like, why are these animals not feeding as close to shore anymore? Why is it harder for me to catch bluefish off the coast of New Jersey? Like, what is going on in our environment that is causing this change? And so, yeah, that along with my internship at Bigelow Laboratories really opened my mind to more of that research that goes into marine science and not just, you know, being an animal trainer, but actually, like, how does it all work out there in the ocean?
In reading more about your path since high school, it to me it was striking me that curiosity is a theme for you. I don't know if you agree, but I know you'll
Yes.
share more with us. It felt like you really start to follow those questions in your mind and have a lot of passion behind that as well. So tell us more about the experience at the University of New England. I know you went there for both undergrad and then again for your master's.
Yes. So I chose UNE because at the time they had the Marine Animal Rehabilitation Center and that whole marine science facility. And that was something that really stood out to me. I mean, right, UNE is right on the coast. It's like the perfect place to study marine science. And I couldn't imagine studying any place else. And so that opened my eyes to a lot of different things I hadn't thought about before. My work study was working in the rehabilitation center with the seals. And so learning like all of the medical things you do when an animal strands, if an animal passes away, how we study their tissue and their blood to see what's really happening environmentally in their bodies and how the environment directly affects them. So that got me thinking. And at the same time, there was like a lot of other large fish research studies going on and then smaller plankton studies going on. And so, again, those why questions, how is this all connected? What is really going on? So that was amazing. And something that I wanted to do was share that. And so, my last 2 years at UNE, I actually worked with local students that we would bring in from the local schools. And that got me thinking. My mom's a teacher. My aunt had been a teacher. My other aunt had worked at a college. My mom actually had taught teachers how to teach at a college. And so, that teaching aspect of me is ingrained in there. And so bringing those kids in made me realize I want to do both. I want to research, but I want to able to bring that research to younger students to get them interested in asking those why questions. And so I started taking teaching classes as an undergrad, but I didn't finish that degree at the time because I knew from being a teacher's kid that education changes so greatly, so rapidly. So I actually had talked to the department about not finishing my degree at that time until I was ready to someday maybe go into teaching because I told them I'm like, it's going to change before I'm ready to go into a classroom. And so in 2010, I contacted them and told them what I had been doing with the University of Georgia and why I wanted to start working towards my master's in science education and how I wanted to use that. And they were really receptive to what I was trying to do. And that's why I went back to UNE for my master's in science education.
That's great. And I know when we were exchanging notes this week, you had just been attending the Maine Space Conference, which is not marine
Yes.
biology. So I'm interested to hear
Oh.
where did you go from there professionally? Where did that master's program then take you?
So I ended up staying at the University of Georgia in it's the Marine Extension Service down there, and I worked in their aquarium. And I also did projects with Grays Reef National Marine Sanctuary. And so going out and doing large fish studies. But then the week we came back, the Nancy Foster, which was the big ship we did research on, would park and they would do tours. And so I would be able to communicate what we were doing for research in a way that the general public could understand why it was important to them and all of that stuff. And then at about that time, my husband and I decided we were ready to start a family and all the grandparents are up here. So we made the big move back. And for a little bit, I worked at the Department of Marine Resources in the aquarium for a summer. And then I was like, you know what? I think I want to go into a school and I want to teach. So I went through, the process of doing my student teaching. I ended up doing that with the University of Maine Augusta. That when I moved back and I got that, and then I got a part-time job at the high school, and I was doing a lot of biology and physics and things like that. When I started my position at Brunswick Junior High School, it was in eighth grade, and they do astrobiology, which is earth and space science. And I realized that a lot of what I had learned to do in marine science translates, right? We're talking about extreme conditions, the deeper you go in the oceans versus extreme conditions, the further you go in our solar system. And what really hooked me was I got asked to be part of a pilot study for a simulation software where kids could simulate being on a Mars colony and they could choose their greenhouse, they could pick their vegetables, they could get data, what was happening to carbon dioxide in those environments and things like that. And so that got me interested in how transferable skills are when you're talking about building remote colonies on other planets. Same idea, right? Extreme environmental conditions. And so in 2022, I had been teaching for a year at St. John's, and I had done the Mars Colony with these kids, and I was like, I'm gonna have them for another 2 years. What am I gonna do next? Like, I have to level up, right? I can't just do the Mars Colony again with them. Like, how do I level up? And my mom, being my mom, had picked up a flyer at one of the grocery stores, and in there was the Human Flights Experiment Workshop, and with teachers in space. And she's like, Karen, you could build mini cube satellites with these kids, and they'll launch them for you. And I was like, that's the next step. Like, these kids can now test our own environmental factors using these mini cubes. And so I did the workshop, and skills that I had from my old job, like soldering and wiring and building something that's waterproof, they all transferred in. And so I brought that into my classroom last year, and we're still waiting, hopefully, fingers crossed, next month. Our original cube we built is supposed to launch on the Blue Origin rocket and do a suborbital flight. And then all summer, our other cube we built was flying on Perlin, so that data is coming in. But yeah, that's how I ended up at space. And it's kind of like propelled me forward to want to do more. And with the new space complex coming into Maine and the legislature that passed, it just made sense to continue down this path and start presenting, like, this is what our middle school kids can do now. If we keep them on this momentum, can you imagine what they can do with their lives as they move forward? And again, all transferable skills that they can use. So some kids are amazing with small electronic soldering, and they're kids that are interested in medical. I'm like, you'd be an awesome surgeon because you have really steady hands. And they're like, you know what? I want to be a surgeon. Like, this is good practice. So those transferable skills, giving them that confidence to be successful, is really what my goal is.
And even in science, those skills are transferable, which I'm not sure you would think, honestly, because it feels
But they
so
are.
specialized. And yeah, just to expose kids to that is great. And it sounds to me like, the experience you were sharing with us about being on the beach in the Bronco with your dad, like, you are providing that moment potentially for some of these students as well to really light that fire and passion around this topic. You mentioned something that comes up a lot with Mitchell Scholars and Mitchell alumni, which is you have to level up. And I think that's a theme that I've learned from Mitchell Scholars in general. There's just this always desire for further achievement and learning and really progressing. So good to hear that. And on that topic, I imagine you have a lot of advice to share with current Mitchell Scholars, but wondered if you maybe have a couple of key pieces that you'd like to leave.
So one big thing is, if I could say anything, it's get comfortable with being uncomfortable, and that's going to allow you to propel yourself forward. So those nerves are good. It means that you're trying something hard, and if even if you're not successful the first time, just keep pushing through that. Like, just don't give up. That kind of grit and perseverance, I think, is what any Mitchell Scholar I've ever met has. They want to do something for the better of humanity, for the state of Maine, for other Mitchell scholars. And so get comfortable with the uncomfortable, and you will go really far with your career, with what your goals are, and things like that. So that's something that, like, is my number one thing I like to say. And it's because, and I'll tell them all the time, I do it to myself. I'll be like, oh, I don't know about that, but I'm going to try it anyway. So the zero G flight I took last year was definitely out of my comfort zone. Like, I'm a water person. But I was like, you know what? I was like, I'm going to take some Dramamine and we're going to do this. So, get comfortable with the uncomfortable.
That's great advice. I feel like in your subject specifically, you have a lot of opportunities to do that. And great advice for anybody to know that sometimes I feel like when it's easy, that should feel uncomfortable, right? It's like, this is too easy. You should be in a position where you're really stretching yourself. So awesome advice.
And then the other thing is that once you are in being a Mitchell Scholar and they have those fellowships they offer every year, use them. When you have an opportunity, use them. And I've used it once so far, but I'm looking for opportunities to potentially use it again. So that was amazing to me. That's something that a lot of other organizations don't offer. And that continuing education, that propelling your education forward, is something that I've always found so unique and amazing about the Mitchell Institute.
Can you say a little more about the fellowship program and how you used it?
So when I was working for the University of Georgia, I, again, was I wanted to take the research that was happening in the local Savannah community and I wanted to bring it to the general public. And we had this really small hometown aquarium. And so I actually used the fellowship to go to a, never thought this would happen, but it was an exhibit design course. It was a 1 week course in West Virginia put on by the Association of Zoos and Aquariums. And it taught you how to design an exhibit from the ground up. And I knew I needed that like engineering, creative art, how to fund it experience from people who do it all the time. So I had asked for money from the fellowship to do that. And I came back and I was able to put in this whole custom design, it's called a chrysal tank. It's meant to continually circulate water because we want it to focus on jellyfish and jellyfish need that. We also do baby seahorses at that aquarium and they also need baby seahorses need that like constant circle, almost dizzying water current. And it allowed us to bring in something that people are like, why are we showing jellyfish in an aquarium? But they tell us a lot about water quality in our coastal waterways. We were able to portray that to the public. And so by attending that course, not only was I able to design the exhibit itself, make it exciting, but also the education material that went with that in a way that the general public could understand just how important it is to understand every different kind of marine organism that exists out there.
Wow, what an exciting project. And I agree. I feel like the we often say that the Mitchell Institute is more than just a scholarship. And over the years, that has just become more and more true as new programs have been added. And really, you know, yes, you're getting the financial support, which is so appreciated, but there's now this support network. There are programs to teach you things about professional development. And of course, the fellowship, which is the more direct financial support. So love to know that you took advantage of that. Well, yeah. We like to usually end with what we call a lightning round. So in this round, I have a few words that I'll say, and just the first thing that comes to your mind, you can say back. The first is learning.
Don't stop. Like, absorb as much as you can.
Community.
It is amazing to reach out to current Mitchell Scholars, previous Mitchell Scholars, the Mitchell Institute in general, and have that constant support system. They are the most amazing community that I've been able to connect with in Maine.
I agree with that wholeheartedly. And mentorship.
If you have the opportunity to put yourself out there and mentor, you have to do it. It's an amazing feeling for yourself, but the fact that you're doing something to help the next generation. I was just actually at the Maine Space Conference. I was pushing for our corporate companies there to provide more mentorship to students of all ages. That's the connection that companies need.
I love that. And we didn't plant that word for you, but as you've been talking, I realize that, you know, beyond it just being your professional, you know, responsibility, you are clearly a mentor to Maine students. And I'm so inspired. We're so grateful for what you're doing because you're impacting the future. And future Mitchell Scholars, I have no doubt, are in your classes today. So thank you so much for sharing your story with us.
Thank you.
Thanks again for joining us for today's episode of Scholars Speak. To learn more about the Mitchell Institute, you can visit www.mitchellinstitute.org or follow along on social media on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn.